You are tuning into the True North Church podcast. Our prayer is that you would be inspired and encouraged by today's message. For more information about True North Church, please visit us online at truenorthak.org.
My name's Rob, one of the pastors on staff. It's my privilege to be able to give the message today. Before I do, though, for those of you that are here in person, we live stream this gathering around the state into different correctional facilities and stuff like that. So would you join me in welcoming all those who are joining us online? Whether you're here in person or online, we're so glad that you are joining us today. Of course, we love it when you're in person and we can see your smiling faces and shake your hands. Before I jump into the message, I do just want to highlight that we have two prayer meetings this week because we are super spiritual. No, we have our normal one on Wednesday, which is our first of the month prayer meeting. And actually, this Wednesday, we've got a couple of things. We're going to be commissioning a short-term trip, and we're going to be praying over a couple that is going into missions for the next 2 years. And so we'd love to invite you to join us, to just come spend some time worshiping and praying, and also this week commissioning those teams. And then on Thursday's the National Day of Prayer. And so we're going to join with churches literally around our entire country to pray for our country. It's not a political event, it's a prayer event. And we're going to pray for all sorts of aspects of our country. We've got people coming in that represent different areas we're going to pray for from around the community, and they're going to be leading us in how to pray for those areas. And so I want to invite you to join us. It's going to be here at True North at 12 o'clock Thursday. So maybe it's on your lunch break. You can kind of jump over and join us. But it's an incredible opportunity for us to pray for our nation. And how many of you know that our nation needs prayer? Because we all need prayer. Right? So this week, we've got those two prayer events, and I just wanted to highlight those and invite you personally. So let's jump into today's message, which is continuing our series called Finding God When It Hurts. Finding God When It Hurts. There's a couple of truths that we're going to start with. One, pain is inevitable. All of us will go through hard times in life. Now, you can choose to blame other people. You can choose to blame God. Many people, in fact, this is one of the most common questions that people say. When the question I have for God, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask him this question. You know, and it's not, hey, why is kale good for you, but chocolate tastes so good, right? That's one of the questions I have. But one of the most common questions is, God, if you're so good, why is there pain and suffering on earth? But why is not the right question. We know there's pain and suffering. And sometimes, you know, I've got a couple of teenagers in my house. I have to acknowledge they are my children. I'm responsible for them. And we're in this season of trying to help them know that sometimes you don't always understand why a reality is what you're facing, but you still have to face that reality well. And you have to go through that situation because sometimes you're a teenager. You don't get it. Right? And if there's any teenagers in here, I apologize. Just know when you're my age, you're going to be saying the same thing to teenagers. And there's sometimes we want to ask God why, but the reality is we may never be able to understand why. Because God is God, and the system and the world he created and he put us in, sometimes there are things we don't understand. However, even in our lack of understanding, we have to face the reality before us. And sometimes that reality is pain. So pain is inevitable. We're all going to go through pain. We're all going to suffer. However, misery is optional. How terrible the pain makes you feel is optional. And that's what this series is about. It's not God, why is there pain? It's God, when there's pain, how do I find you? How do I find you in the midst of the pain? How do I find where God is? So misery is an option. I don't have to choose it. I can choose to find God through pain. And we're using this analogy as we go through this series, pardon me, that pain is like a warning light, okay? How many of you have a car where a warning light has ever come up on your dashboard, right? If you've got anything older than a few years and you've been driving it around in Fairbanks, you probably have a car where the light pops up. Pain is like a warning light in our life, and we don't want to be like, I'm going to stereotype here for a second, just forgive me if this isn't you. We don't want to be like the lady who sees the light go on and says, that looks pretty, and just keeps driving. Okay? We don't want to just ignore the pain in our life. Pain is there to get our attention, to say something needs to be addressed, something needs to be fixed. We want to be the people who go, okay, that light came on. If you're like me, you're not mechanical at all. So you need the book that's in the glove box, right? You need to pull out the manual, open it up and go, okay, that symbol looks like this. And yeah, okay, I'm going to figure out how to fix this. Thank goodness for YouTube. I don't know how anyone learned anything before YouTube. Like, honestly, I love our public education system, but I learned more from YouTube, I think, than I've ever learned from anywhere else. So we want to be people who go to the manual and say, how do we fix this? What do we learn about? And for us as believers, we know that's the Word of God. And sometimes, though, that's not enough. Sometimes there's pain or a warning light comes on that we need to go and find an expert. We need to go and ask somebody for help. And this is where we want to be, and I'm going to stereotype the other way now. We don't want to be like most of us men who go, my body hurts, but I haven't been to a doctor in 15 years. Right? How many guys are going, yeah, there's something in my body. There's a pain that wasn't there 10 years ago, but I haven't bothered to go ask a doctor what it might be. We don't want to be like that. We want to be people who see the pain and go, God, how can I find you? God, how can I understand what you're warning me about? How can I learn to fix what needs to be fixed? That's what this whole series is about. It's actually a series about redemption, about how we can have our pain and our suffering redeemed because we brought it to God. I've got a little bit of a sore knee here, and I am going to the doctor. Thankfully, I can say that. Otherwise, I'd be in big trouble. And I was thinking about this, and I was kind of, the other day, I was just thinking like, man, I don't know what's going on with my knee. It's just old age. And I was like, I was starting to think about, oh, you know what? I wonder, and listen, I don't think this is what's going to happen, but I was like, I wonder if I'll ever need to replace it. And that got me thinking, and again, this just shows you a little bit about who I am. It's like, I wonder how cool the new knees are going to be in 10, 15 years when I need one. Like, will I be able to run faster and jump higher? Like, I want not just my knee fixed, I want a redeemed knee. I want a better knee than the one I started with. Right? And that's what, when we learn how to take our pain and our suffering to God, he says, hey, that area of your life, if you will let me comfort it, if you will let me heal it, if you will let me fix what's broken, I will redeem it and actually make it better. And that's what this series, Finding God When It Hurts, is all about. And we live in a world that wants everybody to be okay with pain right now. But God says, I don't want you to be okay with pain. I want you to bring your pain to me so I can redeem it. So I can turn it around. And today, and if you've got your worship guide in front of you, you're going to notice something interesting. We've already filled in the first three blanks for you. Well, that's because last week we covered those first three points. And you can go onto our YouTube page and you can watch that series. But I'm going to recover it really quickly. Because last week we looked at how God redeems our suffering to make us more like him. In other words, how God, we looked at three ways that God uses the comforting of our pain in our life to grow us personally. And we had these three points. Number one was this: I can leverage my pain to draw closer to God and worship. In other words, sometimes pain in our life is a warning light, again, that we need to go find an expert. I don't call my mechanic unless a warning light comes on in my car. And too many of us sometimes leave our Christian life like that. I haven't talked to God in a long time. When a warning light comes on, it's God saying, hey, I want to talk. It's time to bring your car in. It's time to get close again. And so God draws us closer to himself through our pain. The second way we can leverage pain for personal growth, we talked about last week, was through to draw close to others in fellowship. Now, some of you might be going, but the others are the cause of my pain, right? Don't look at them if they're in the room. But God uses others to also be the ones who can comfort us in our pain. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that today. But God wants to use pain. Again, that warning light comes on. And can I tell you something? My first phone call when a warning light comes on in my dashboard is not to my mechanic, because my mechanic's going to charge me. My first phone call is to my friends who know how to fix things and will come over and do it for a cup of coffee. Right? And so God not only wants us to draw closer to him, he wants us, when we're going through pain and hard times in our life, to draw close to others as well. And we're going to look today a little bit more about the kind of people that we want to draw close to. And the third thing we looked at last week is that I can leverage my pain to grow more like Jesus in discipleship. In other words, God wants to make us more like him if we will go through suffering with him. Nobody suffered more than Jesus. Nobody suffered like Jesus did, and he suffered in every way that we are suffering. And so going through our suffering well can make us more like Christ. In fact, there's a story in the Bible. It's often called the prodigal son. You might be very familiar with it. That looks at this idea of what happens to someone when life is going well and then life is trashed and what their response is. And the prodigal son, what happens is he takes his inheritance from his father early. He's like, "Dad, I can't wait for you to die. I need my money now." He goes and he starts living large. And when he's living large, there's no indication whatsoever that he's thinking about his dad. There's no indication that he's thinking about his old life. But then hard times come, and then incredibly hard times come, and he begins to suffer. And then through that suffering, it says he comes to his senses. In other words, the warning lights come on, and he begins to remember there's something not right about the way I'm living now. And he goes back to his father. And that's what pain is. That's what suffering can be if we will walk through it well. And again, it's inevitable. We're going to suffer. We're going to have hard times. It's not that we don't. It's when the warning light comes on, when pain gets our attention, what do we do with it? And so today we're going to look at how we can grow from pain in ways, not only for ourselves, but in ways for others as well. So last week we looked at how can we grow from pain to be more like Christ, to grow in who we are. This week we're going to look at two more points about how we can grow in helping others through our pain. Because basically this series is not just how can I find God when it hurts, but then as we go through it, it becomes how can I help others find God in their hurt and in their pain. So that's what we're going to look at today. And again, if you got your worship guide, it's going to be a little confusing because we're starting with point number four, okay? But point number four is this: I can leverage my pain to be more sensitive in serving others. In other words, pain sensitizes you to the pain of others. If you've gone through something, you understand it in a way that someone who hasn't gone through it doesn't understand it, right? If you are a mom who's had a miscarriage, you can talk to moms who have gone through miscarriages with a greater understanding than someone who hasn't. If you have had financial hardships in your life, if you've gone through a divorce and you've been comforted through that, if you've gone through difficult things, you understand and have a sensitivity towards those things in a way that people who haven't gone through them don't have. So our pain actually sensitizes us to the pain of others. And then when we're sensitive to it, we can help them. It says it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and this is Paul talking. He says this: God comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. Now, I want to say something. The first part of this is crucial to this whole series. God comforts us. You see, we live in a world where pain and suffering is often celebrated and encouraged. But God isn't saying, "Hey, if you're having a hard time, go up to someone else and say, 'Me too, I'm having a hard time.'" What God's saying is, if you're having a hard time, come to me, be comforted by me, then you can go and help others find that same comfort. So if you're in here today and you're going, "I have not yet found the comfort of God," I'm not asking you to walk outside and pretend like everything's great. I'm asking you to find the comfort of God first. Then when we have found the comfort of God, it says we can then comfort others. It says, he goes on, he says, "Then when others are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort that God has given us." So this isn't just we suffer so we can understand. It's we suffer and we take it to God, we find comfort, and then now we know how to comfort others. It goes on, it says, "You can be sure that the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with his comfort through Christ, so that when we are weighed down with troubles, it is for your benefit and salvation." That is a different paradigm on my pain. When I'm weighed down with troubles, it's for your benefit? I don't know if I love people as much as Paul did. Just going to be honest. But that's the perspective that we need where we can find God. "God, if I'm suffering this, how can I help someone else?" And isn't that what Jesus said? Isn't that what Jesus did when he took the cross? You know, when Jesus was taking the cross and he's talking to the leader of the day who says, "Aren't you a king? Can't you do anything?" He says to him, "Yeah, I could. I could call down the armies of heaven right now, but I'm not going to, because I'm going to take the suffering and take the pain so that I can help others." Jesus took the pain so that we would benefit. And Paul's saying we must have the same understanding as we're going through hard times. He says, for when God comforts us, it's so that we in turn can be an encouragement to you. And then you can patiently endure the same things we suffer. So basically what Paul is saying is we endure. We've learned how to endure in Christ so that we can be sensitive to you and we can help you endure in Christ as well. And I remember, so when I was a young missionary, we went to some parts of the world, in India and in Cairo, Egypt, where I saw poverty and pain and suffering like I had never seen before. I grew up middle-class Canadian. I had your normal suffering through high school rejections and hard times of not having as much money or parents who would buy me everything I wanted. I had those things, but I had never suffered like the people I was trying to minister to. And I'll be honest with you, the first couple times I was in situations like that, I did not know how to minister to them. I didn't know how to connect with their poverty, with the suffering, with the pain that they faced on a daily basis. Until I went through probably what was, I think, not the first, what I would call great tragedy of my life. You know, there's those things that happen in life that hurt, but they're supposed to happen. My grandparents lived to be an old age and then passed away, and that hurts, but that's normal. But I remember the first time I ever really felt like I was suffering with no reason, suffering where my mind that likes to be able to analyze and understand things couldn't. And so my wife and I, we were with the missions organizations, and one of our best friends, this young lady named Delphine, she was amazing. She loved the Lord. She put the rest of us to shame with how much she served and how much time she spent with God. And she was just one of those like unknown heroes of the faith. And she was one of our dearest friends. And I remember the day we got a phone call, and they said, Delphine died in a car accident on an outreach serving the Lord. And that was the first time in my life I was ever tempted to ask the question, why God? Why her? Why on an outreach when she's literally in a country preaching the gospel? And it was the first time I really felt like there was a hurt and a pain I didn't know what to do with. And it felt like there was a first time there was a silence from God where I couldn't hear what he was saying. And I remember going through the whole process, one of what we're talking about today, of learning God. This isn't about the why. This isn't about right or wrong or justice. This is about, God, how can I find you in the midst of my hurt? And then the next time I went to one of those places, and we went to places, one of the places I remember going to a short time after that's called Dump City. And it's in Cairo, Egypt. It's where people literally live on a dump. Some of them have been born on that dump and they die on that dump, a landfill. That's where they live their entire life. There's no education. That's their job. That's how they make money. They live in incredible poverty. And I remember going there after Delphine's death, and I remember feeling a connection like I had never felt before because suddenly I had a sensitivity to their pain I didn't have before. And it's not that I had ever grown up in their situation, but because I had suffered a tragedy where I didn't know what was going on, I could relate to them. When they asked those questions, if your God is so good, why? I could say, you know what, I asked that question too, and it's not the right question. And if we will go with our suffering to God, if we will let God comfort us, pardon me, in our pain, then we will be sensitive to the pain of others and be able to comfort them. You know, when we were doing ministry, people have these questions of God when they're in situations like that. And that brings up the second point. If we will leverage our pain for growth, we can leverage our pain to witness to the world. We can leverage our pain to let them know how good God is through our comfort. We have those moments. I could say to these people, I don't understand necessarily all of how your life has led to this point, but I understand what you're feeling, and I can point you to Jesus. I can witness to what God has done in my life. And in fact, I can witness and point to a Savior who suffered like you're suffering, who suffered rejection, who suffered not having enough, who suffered right to the point of death. And how we walk through that is our witness to the world. In fact, faithfulness is one of the greatest witnesses we have to who God is. And faithfulness is not proven in the good times. Faithfulness is proven in the difficult times. It's easy to love God when everything's going well, isn't it? Lord, you bless me. The paycheck had a bonus this week. Man, my spouse treated me really good. I don't believe it. My kids cleaned the kitchen before I ever asked them to. God, this is an easy week to praise you. Right? But it's when it gets hard, when we have to prove that we are faithful to God, even in difficult times, even when we hurt and there's pain, that's when the world stops and takes notice of who our God is. There's a character in the Bible named Job, and he gets his book. It's named after him, but there's this fascinating story at the front end of it, and I'm not going to go into the theology of this, but basically, the story is Satan and God are having a conversation about Job, and God says to Satan, hey, Satan, look how good Job is. And essentially, Satan says, yeah, of course he's good. Look what you've done for him. He's like the richest man in the land. His wife is still with him. He's got kids and grandkids. I mean, everything is good. Satan says this, but God, let me bring pain and suffering to his life and he'll curse you. And God says, no, he won't. So the devil goes down and he tries to mess with Job. And he brings Job through some horrible times, financial difficulties, marital difficulties, death, loss, everything. And through it all, Job says, I'll still praise God. And he had to wrestle with his friends. But that story of Job, that shows, that's faithfulness. Job's witness to the world is stronger after he went through suffering well than it was when God was just blessing him. And I'm not saying that God wants to bring pain into our life so that we can be a good witness. But what I'm saying is when pain comes in our life, and we've already said it's inevitable, none of us is going to escape it, we can use it to be a good witness to the world. In fact, Paul understood the same thing that Job learned. In Philippians 1:12, it says this, I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here, and if you're not familiar with this, here is prison. Paul's writing from prison. He says, everything that's happened to me here has helped to spread the good news. Paul, your mindsets are so much better than mine. What he's saying is all the suffering, literally being held in chains, has helped to spread the good news because God has shown up in it, because Paul remained faithful. And if we will remain faithful through hard times, if we'll remain able to worship God, if we'll remain able to continue to walk with God through those hard times, it will help spread the good news. The world will take notice. In fact, often your deepest witness will come from your deepest pain. The most personal opportunities you will have to share your testimonies are probably the ones that hurt the most when you went through them. Paul says it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. He says, in everything we do, we try to show that we're true servants of Jesus. We patiently endure suffering and hardship and trouble of every kind. In other words, what he's saying is true servants of Jesus patiently endure suffering and hardship and trouble. And I know and I understand the temptation when hard times come to not patiently endure, but to often accuse. And that question of why God, it's often asked as an accusation. It's not asked God, why did this happen? It's asked God, why did you let this happen? You hear the difference? But Paul's saying that if we really walk with God, we patiently endure and say, God, would you use this for your glory? Would you help me be able to comfort others? And Lord, would you be able to help me use this as a witness? Now, I want to say this. This isn't Paul saying to his people, hey, we're Christians, put a smile on and pretend everything's okay. That's not what Paul is saying. Paul's in prison. He gets pain. He gets suffering. And here's the reality. Sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes my pain is my fault, okay? Sometimes my pain is my dumb decision. It's my sin. It's my stupidity. Sometimes it's other people's fault. I won't name names. They know who they are. No, just kidding. But sometimes it's circumstantial. Whatever the reason might be, Paul's in prison not because he wants to be in prison. But what he's not saying is, guys, let's just all pretend to be happy. Hey, when you come into church, keep your fighting in the car. No. What he's saying is, as God's people, we must learn to let God comfort us. We must learn to let God walk with us through the hard times, and then we can be a witness to the world. We're not witnesses to the world when we fake it. We're witnesses to the world when we actually let God change us into it. And so this isn't a message where we're saying, hey, Christians, smile, doesn't matter what you went through today. We're not pretending something. What we're saying to the world is, I know you're suffering. I know your pain. I've gone through it. I went through it with God. And that's why I can stand where I am today. And so we want to look today at four helpful hints on how we can share our pain with others, not in a way where we're just faking it. I think that part of the reason our culture in America doesn't look to the church anymore is because we tried to fake it for a while. I'm just going to be honest with you. I think sometimes Christians have tried to fake it. We've tried to pretend like, no, I know Jesus, therefore everything is okay. Rather than actually presenting Jesus as the solution, we pretend like those things don't happen to us if we have Jesus, but they do. I'll just be honest with you. Sometimes I'm not the best dad to my kids, but I'm a pastor. Not only do I know Jesus, he employs me. But sometimes I'm not Jesus to my kids or to my spouse or to my neighbors. And so it's not that I pretend that I'm not the cause of pain or going through pain, but it's that I know how to go through it well. So here's four helpful hints that will help us to understand the difference. The first one is this: be open about my feelings. And for the men in the room, I'm going to read that again. Be open about my feelings. I think I'm great at expressing to my wife when I'm suffering. She thinks I'm man sick, right? But no, we have to let people know what we're feeling. We have to let people know, hey, that hurts. It hurts. What do I feel right now? I feel a bit disappointed. What do I feel right now? Maybe I feel a little bit angry. What do I feel right now? I feel hurt. I feel let down. I feel betrayed, whatever it might be. We have to let those feelings be known when we're going through pain. First and foremost, we have to let them be known to God. God can take your pain. He'll take it right to the cross, and he'll deal with it through the death of Jesus. That's already done. God understands it. Here's the thing with our feelings when we're sitting before God. He sees them. Sometimes I think we pretend like, ooh, God, everything's great today. And then he's just like, oh, really? What about this? Right? You know when God just puts his finger on something, and you're like, all right, amen, we're done, okay. Don't amen, we're done when God starts talking about your feelings. And also, sometimes we need to let other people know our feelings. You know, that's why it was so hard when I'd go to these places and these people in poverty, because I didn't understand their feelings until I did. And then I was able to say, hey, my circumstances were different, but I understand your feelings. Here's what I felt when I lost my friend. Here's what I felt when I went through that suffering. Here's what I felt when I didn't know why that circumstance was in my life. Here's what I felt. It says this in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 11. We've spoken frankly to you. We have opened our hearts wide. In other words, we've let you know what we're feeling. But I want to give you a quick warning on this. Don't be an oversharer, okay? We all know those people. Know where it's right to share your feelings. Have a group of people that you can share your feelings with. Facebook is not that group of people, okay? You ever see those posts on Facebook? You read them and you're just like, why did that person write it? That person wrote it because they don't have anyone in their life to share it with. That's why they wrote it on Facebook. Here at True North, we have groups. We have life groups, we have care groups, we have recovery groups. This is part of the reason we encourage you to get in these groups, so you can open your heart wide. You can let people know what you're feeling as you go through a hard time. In the same way, we love to let people know what we're feeling when we go through a good time, right? And so we can let people know what we're feeling. The second helpful hint when sharing your pain to others is be humble about your faults. Again, I'll read it a second time for the men. Be humble about your faults. Let me tell you a secret about your faults. We already see them. Someone in your life, she's called your wife, no. Someone in your life already sees your faults. One of my favorite things in life is watching young people try and pretend like they don't have those faults. Again, I got teenagers in the house. It is so funny watching them. No, that's not what I did. No, it's not my fault. No, it's my brother, it's my sibling, it's whatever, it's my teachers. Teachers are the cause of all of teenager problems. I don't know if you knew that. But just be humble about your faults. Own it. We are not perfect. In fact, Galatians 5 says that. Each of us has to bear the faults and burdens of his own, for none of us is perfect. It's okay to admit you have faults. Again, we're not Facebook posting them. But when we're talking with others and their pain is caused by their own fault, look, sometimes it's easy to comfort someone whose pain is not their own fault. But sometimes you have to look at someone and say, bro, you did this to yourself, right? But that's when we say, hey, but guess what? I understand it because here's what I've done to myself in the past. Here's the faults I have. Here's the mistakes I make. And if you're sitting in here and you think, I have no faults, get married. I'm just kidding. I love my wife. I'm glad that she sees my faults and helped me seize them. All right, third helpful hint. We'll just move right along from that. Third helpful hint is this. Be frank about your failures. Be honest about your failures. I've got a lot of practice in this one. And I've seen some successes in life, and I'm grateful for those, but I've learned a lot of lessons through my own mistakes. And it's okay to be honest about those, to be frank about those. Hey, here's where I failed. This past year, I've been involved in a men's group. And man, we started awesome. And then we kind of went a little bit. And it was my fault. And so I just told the guys, hey, thanks for your patience with me. I know that it's kind of doing this, and it's my fault. And you know what? Most of them, they get it. They're gracious. They understand it. Why? Because they've got their failures too. And so it's okay if we will open up and be frank about our failures. In fact, and there's two areas. There's some of our failures cause our pain, right? Sometimes we have to be frank about the failures that have caused our pain. And sometimes we have to be frank about our failures that are the result of our pain. Because sometimes when we're walking through life and hard times and suffering, we make wrong choices. We fail. It's okay. We can open up about those. Again, we're not Facebook posting. We're finding a group of people that we are sharing this with. And if the world sees that we're open about our feelings, humble about our faults, and frank about our failures, they'll look to us and say, but you're still walking it out differently. And that's when we can say, it's our God. That's when we can say, it's because Jesus is in my life. The fourth one is this, be honest about your frustrations. Here's a truth that we all know, pain hurts. That's why it's called pain. Pain hurts. Denying the frustrations caused by pain doesn't help overcome those things. Denying the frustrations doesn't mean that they don't exist. They do. You're just not going to be able to deal with them properly because you're trying to pretend like they don't. And sometimes, as believers, it's okay if we say to the world, yeah, I was frustrated that God brought me through that. I was a little bit frustrated when God took my friend way, way, way too young. I was frustrated by that, and it affected me for a while. It affected what I was doing because of that frustration. But God was there, and he understood that. Paul says it this way in Romans 7, verse 18. I've got the desire to do what is right, but I can't carry it out. I keep on doing the evil I don't want to do. And I think when we're in times of suffering and pain, that's even more true. We know what we should do, but pain hurts, and so we're not doing it. We're frustrated in that. That's okay. Open up, but don't stay there. Again, pain is a warning light. And when the warning light comes on in your dashboard, if you don't address it, more warning lights are going to come on until eventually your car isn't going to run anymore. And so if pain in our life is a warning, in our life is a warning light, the more you ignore it, the more warning lights are going to come on. In other words, the more pain is going to be in your life until eventually you're going to say life doesn't work like it should. So pay attention to those warning lights. Pay attention to where the pain is, so that you can take it to God and say, God, would you fix it? God, would you heal it? God, would you repair it? Whatever it is. And then when God does that, he's then going to say to you, okay, now would you go and help others when the warning light comes on in their life? Would you go and help comfort them? Would you go and help point them to me? the God who understands pain and suffering. And so when we look at pain and we find God where it hurts, we're then able to show others that God can be there in their pain with them. And that's an incredible place to be. And I want to close today. I want to pray for you. And I want to do this a little bit different. I want to pray, first of all, for those that are in a season of life where you are still receiving the comfort of God. And we don't normally do this, but I'm going to ask today, if you're in a place where you need the comfort of God and somewhere in your life, would you stand up? I'm not going to ask you to say what it is, but if you're in a place and you go, I need comfort from God still. I need God to heal something or repair something or fix something that's broken. Would you stand up? Because I want to pray for you first. And if you're online, you may or may not be standing, but if you're in that place, know that we're praying for you too. Jesus, I thank you that what Paul said is true. You comfort us when we're in pain. And Lord, I want to pray for those that are standing right now who are saying, God, I need your comfort in an area of my life. I ask, God, that through this series, through the teaching, through what they know of you, they would feel your comfort today in a way that maybe they haven't yet. They would know that you are with them. They would know that you hear their hurts. You hear the frustrations. You see the failures. You don't blame them, God. You know what they're feeling. Lord, would you respond to them today? Would you comfort them, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
What a fantastic service. Be sure to stay in touch by following us on social media so you can stay up to date with all that is happening at True North Church.